Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing a teaching about real righteousness. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this teaching that we're going to have this evening, God. Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us, God, so that we can learn to hear your voice, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a mind to serve you, to please you, to trust you, and to obey you, God. Allow us to seek to be closer and closer to your presence daily, God. Allow us to value what you value. Father, allow us to trust in all that you have for us so that we can glory in your presence and we can be glorified by your Son, Jesus Christ, as you glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, as we glorify you. Father, allow us to intentionally win souls for the kingdom. And Father, I thank you for you allowing our reward to be intact. I thank you for you allowing our heart to be cleared of any unforgiveness or any bitterness or any jealousy or any anger or any rage. Father, I thank you for you just bringing us into a place of abundance right now, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, so that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life as we operate the power of your Holy Spirit within our life, God. Allow us to seek to walk in love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control so that we can represent you properly in the earth. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere. Every yoke is help me say that. It's moving, and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oak will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it. And it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving. It's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time. For 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me, just take this medication, and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. And the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I'll lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing this teaching about real righteousness. And what's important to know about real righteousness is that it is not what we would think about, what we would think of automatically according to our five senses. According to our five senses, real righteousness would look like what some people say looks like integrity when they tell you that they're not going to get baptized or that they're not going to get saved until they know that they are free from all sin. And that sounds noble, but the fact is that you can't be free from sin until you're baptized. So you have to be in a state of sin before you are baptized, before you become saved. And when people in the world think of righteousness being real, they are thinking about man-made righteousness. And unfortunately, this isn't available. And the reason man-made righteousness isn't available is because our progenitor, Adam, when he sinned, he birthed us all into sin. All of the human race was subject to sin and the condemnation that came with that until God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and I so that we could reign in life again through him. And we could be made righteous. We could be justified through Jesus Christ. But that only happens through your faith in Jesus Christ, through you believing that Jesus Christ's blood actually covered your sin. Now, if you make the mistake of defining real based on what you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, according to your five senses, you're going to be sorely mistaken, because the only righteousness that is acceptable to God is the righteousness that comes from God, which is through his son, Jesus Christ. And when we humble ourselves and receive God's payment for our sin in the form of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, then we become saved. Then we become righteous. Then we become acceptable. But when we try to do this thing without God, when we try to do this thing on our own, the outcome is never going to meet God's requirements. And so tonight, I want us to look at specifically why it's important for us to embrace and seek after the righteousness of God. See, remember in Matthew 6, where God tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, and then all these things that the Gentiles seek after will be added to us, right? In that same passage of scripture, God tells us to fear not, to fret not, not to worry. And in order to seek the righteousness of God, we have to know what that is. We have to understand what God is saying, because if we misunderstand what God is saying, then what we'll do is we'll make the same mistake that the Jewish people made when Christ was on earth with them. We will be seeking our own righteousness. We will reject Jesus Christ with him in our midst and embrace what looks like righteousness to us, which is doing the law of Moses, which only could measure how far away they were from God, whereas the law of Christ measures how close we are to God. The law of Christ says that first we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then we're to love ourselves, and then we're to love others, even up to our enemies. And when we are walking according to the law of Christ, we are concerned about how close we are to God, because we know it's always available for us to be near to the presence of God, near to full relationship and communication and covenant with God. And that is the result of embracing the righteousness of God, which is through his son, Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us justified. And I want to start tonight's teaching in Isaiah chapter 54. And we're going to be reading from verses 14 and 15, where it says, "In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear. And from care, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake." And this is what God has to say about his people. And what's important is for us to understand that God is the one who establishes us in righteousness, through his righteousness, which is through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And then when love frees us from fear, we'll be far from oppression and care. And when we live in a global pandemic as we do today, and we live in a world that is subject to terrorism and other things, we understand that love frees us. The law of Christ frees us from fear and removes us far from oppression and care. See, when you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love yourself and you love others, you don't have to be concerned about oppression or terror, because you know you're always on assignment from God. God is always with you. God's plan for you is good, and the angels of God are, and God's protective hedge is about you, and you have nothing to fear. So those who organize against you shall fall. According to this, they'll fall for our sake. And there, what's important to understand about this is that people who are committed to your failure understand that they're not simply going to be able to take you out by themselves. It's usually some sort of coordinated effort. So in the world, if you want to shut a company down, you call their banker and you call their lawyer and you call their accountant and you enlist them to help shut a business down, right? Well, there's a verse in the scripture that says that your enemy will come against you one way. It'll seem like one incident. But when the power of God flows through you, they will flee before you seven ways. You'll see it was a concerted, coordinated effort. And one of the reasons why they have to have a concerted, coordinated effort to stop you is because they're not fighting you. If they were fighting you, it probably wouldn't take but one of them. But when they come against the power of God in your life, the calling of God in your life, the purpose of God in your life, not only must they fail, they will fail. When you are walking in the righteousness that God has called you to walk in by operating in the law of Christ, which is the law of love. When you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're on your post. When you love yourself, you're on your post. When you love others, you're on your post. And you will see your enemy flee before you seven ways. And many times we would be so overwhelmed while we're going through our conflicts if we saw how many forces were coming against us. But not until the battle is over do we see them scatter like roaches, like the roaches they are, those who come against the purposes of God in your life. This says, whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. So God is saying, look, if he's not behind them assembling against you, don't worry about it. They are in no position to prevail because they're not fighting us, they're fighting God. And the power and purpose and praise of God on our life. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 54, verses 16 to 17. It says, behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So God is going a little further, and he's saying, look, no weapon that's formed against God's servant is going to prosper. No weapon that is fashioned, that is made to come against you or I is going to prosper. And then it says, we'll condemn every tongue that rises against us in judgment. And I believe it's our love walk, our example of not returning reviling for reviling, not returning evil for evil, but us walking in love and allowing God to fight our battles, understanding that vengeance is not ours, vengeance is the Lord's. And that our humility and submission and love walk is a form of trusting God, honoring God's word, giving God the opportunity to allow his power, his might to prevail in a situation. And for us to see things that we need not even waste energy on. We stay on our task. We stay on our assignment. And then we understand that the heritage of the servants of the Lord is righteousness from God. And we know that righteousness establishes us. That's so important to understand so that we don't get distracted. Look at what it says here in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. In Isaiah 32:17, it says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. See, what's important to understand here is that the work of righteousness is peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Eternal quietness and assurance forever is the effect of righteousness. And that's why we never want to make the mistake of mixing up our idea of what we think is righteous with the righteousness of God, which is his son, Jesus Christ. The work of righteousness is peace, and the effect of righteousness is eternal quietness and assurance. We are to walk in that position, in that place, deliberately, understanding that when we are seeking the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, that is what sets the stage for the blessings of God to enter into our life. See, when we're at peace, when we're quiet, when we're assured, then we're not trying to figure out how we're going to change the past. We understand we can't change the past. We understand that sometimes we are going to fall short. And when we do, God's already given us mercy for that. He gives us new grace and new mercy each and every day. When we don't understand how we're going to do what God is asking us to do because it goes so far beyond our own natural strengths, talents, and abilities, we know that God's grace is his enabling power. And so we never have to worry about our limitations or shortcomings because God has provided all that we need. Look at what it says here. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what we see here is that we believe unto righteousness with our heart. Our heart is a part of our soul, our mind, will, emotions. We believe unto righteousness with our heart when we believe that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And so we have to understand that That is something that we do intentionally, deliberately, as a result of the word that we know and believe. And when we believe in our heart that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, we are saved. And it's through our heart that we believe unto righteousness, not through anything that we do, not through anything that we don't do, not by obeying the Mosaic law, but walking according to the law of Christ, which simply puts your heart on a platter and says, God, I love you with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with my whole soul, with my every breath, and says, God, I love myself because of who you've made me to be. And then allows that love of God and love of self to be manifested in your love of your spouse and your children and your parents and your grandparents and your pastors and your church members and your neighbors and your coworkers and your enemies. And see, that type of love allows this talk to go beyond talk and manifested into the earth. And it's interesting here because it says, when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we're saved. For with a heart one believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, what we say makes our salvation manifest. And our heart, though, is where we believe to righteousness. So righteousness begins in our heart. And our heart is a part of our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, what we meditate upon, who we are, who we believe we are. And when we believe in our heart that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, then we're saved. And in our heart, we believe to righteousness. When we believe that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, that's why this is so important, this particular verse. And so now look at what it says here in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 22. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And I want to stop there for a minute because, see, remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden and God told them, do not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the law is the knowledge of sin, which is what God was trying to keep from mankind in the first place. But man disobeyed God, partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and became subject to the knowledge of sin, which is the law. And then the Mosaic law had to be institutionalized in order to allow man to see that there was hope of redemption, hope of justification. There was the ability that God could step in and override the damage that man had done to himself by engaging the knowledge of sin. And so the law forces you to focus on things that God would rather have you ignore. God would rather have you so focused on him that you don't have time to think about sin. God has dealt with sin when he allowed his son Jesus Christ to be crucified for you and laid in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights. And when God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead after being dead for 3 days and three nights and seated him at his own right hand and gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then Jesus Christ sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within you and I, that empowered us to no longer allow sin to be the focus of our life. We want to focus on God. That's why God says the first and great commandment is to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is to love ourselves and then love others as we love ourselves. Now, look at what it says here in the rest of this in Romans 3:22. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. See, you're going to understand that the righteousness of God is apart from the law. It's the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. That is revealed through his son, Jesus Christ. And it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. And the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is to all and all on all who believe. And see, it's our belief in Jesus Christ as the righteousness of God that becomes our righteousness. It becomes the revelation of the righteousness of God. And so when we're seeking the righteousness of God and seeking the kingdom of God, that is where we are blessed. We are positioning ourselves for the more than abundant life that God desires that we have mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. God desires that we have a more than abundant life so that we can focus on him. So we got to get it. We got to put first things first. Seek the kingdom of God. Those who had been called before the foundations of the world were supposed to be reconciling them back to God by sharing Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection with them so that they can be saved. And then we are to seek the righteousness of God, which is through faith in his son, Jesus Christ, and understand that what comes with that is the peace of God. And when we love, that frees us from fear and we'll be far from oppression, far from care. We'll be in this place where now we are focused on the righteousness of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. And we'll be among those when it says to all and on all who believe. See, we call ourselves believers for a reason. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 26. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, that big word's a payment by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So see, God is the one who's revealed his righteousness apart from the law. Faith in God's son, Jesus Christ, whom God has revealed, is the righteousness of God. When we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, all these things will be added to us, as God says. And now he says, God is the justifier of the one who has faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, this is so important because when we try to justify ourselves, we have to literally play lawyer and judge in many cases in our own life and try to justify everything we've done, our reasons for doing things and why we did things and whose fault it was that we fell out of line or fell short or sinned or whatever happened, right? But God says we are freely justified by his grace so that the redemption that is in Christ, whom God set forth as a payment by the blood of Christ through faith in his son Jesus Christ, can demonstrate God's righteousness. See, God is interested in you seeing how righteous he is, how faithful he is, and understanding that God's forbearance has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness. See, God isn't going to let sin stop him from doing what he said he was going to do. God from the beginning of time has set forth that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him. And nothing is going to stop him from doing that. And see, ultimately, in the end, when this is all done, after Jesus Christ has placed all enemies under his feet and the devil and the Antichrist and the beast are cast into the lake of fire with all who follow them, then mankind is going to dwell with God and God is going to dwell with mankind in perfect peace, just as God said would happen. But the one who justifies and is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ is God. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. It says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. See, when you humble yourself before God and you believe that the blood of Christ is powerful enough to cover your sin, then God justifies the ungodly and your faith is accounted to you as righteousness. But when you don't believe the blood of Christ is powerful enough to cover your sin and you try to do it yourself, then your wages, your work, they're not counted to you as grace, but as a debt that you owe, that you're trying to pay that you can never pay because you don't believe. And so now it's a matter of your faith getting to the point where you believe that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead. And when you believe that, then your faith in Jesus Christ can produce the righteousness of God in your life, which is simply you receiving the payment, the propitiation for your sin, so that you can stand boldly before the throne of God and receive mercy to help in the time of need. See, you need mercy, but the deception of the devil is the master of the lie. He's the author of the lie, the creator, the originator of the lie. And he will tell you that you haven't sinned and you don't sin and you can't sin and you won't sin and you might believe that. And see, if you were one of these magic people who didn't sin, then you wouldn't need the blood of Christ. You wouldn't need God's new mercy every day. And you wouldn't even need God's grace, his enabling power, because you would obviously have the ability all by yourself. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to do the complete and perfect work that God has us to do, we're focused on loving God. We're focused on loving ourselves. We're focused on loving others. And now we know that it's God who justifies the ungodly. When we believe in the faith of his son, Jesus Christ, when we have the faith of his son, Jesus Christ, and we believe that God raised his son from the dead. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. And it speaks of death in Adam and life in Christ. This says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So you see, what's interesting about this is that sin entered the world through one man, and that one man was Adam. And death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. We all sin through Adam. And it says, for until the law, sin was in the world. So sin was in the world all the way from Adam to Moses. And it also says here, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death still reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So, you know, Noah died, right? He was in between Adam and Moses. And all of these, that death reign. Look at what it says, Romans 5:15. It says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So we have to understand that condemnation came from the offense of Adam, but justification came from the obedience of Jesus Christ. And then death reigned through Adam, but the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And when we understand that, when we walk in that, when we stand in that place of favor, and we understand the free gift is not like the offense, it's greater than. And through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, the grace of God abounded to many. That is so profoundly true and necessary for us to understand so that we don't make the mistake of serving money and pleasing people and trusting ourselves and operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. And instead, we learn to serve God instead of money, please God instead of people, trust God instead of trusting ourselves, and obeying God and operating out of the full, unlimited power of the Holy Spirit instead of operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. It's important because, one, it is impossible to have enough money. It is impossible to please people. It is impossible to be so wise that you can rely on all of your own ideas. And it is impossible to have all of the strengths, talents, and abilities that you need to make it in life. Only the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit can allow you to rest assured that everything that you need, you have. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. It says, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, Adam. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. See, Jesus Christ paid for the sins of all man through his blood, and it resulted in the justification of many. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And we have to understand that as we seek the kingdom of God, as we seek the righteousness of God, understanding that the gift of righteousness reigns in life through the one, Jesus Christ, through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in Romans 8, 5 to 8. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. So they're serving money, they're pleasing people, they're trusting themselves, and they're operating out of their own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. And it says, for to be carnally minded like this is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Remember how the righteousness of God produces peace, right? It says to be spiritually minded is life and peace because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's opposed to God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. See, the law of God is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving yourself, and loving others. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And see, when we talk about serving God, pleasing God, trusting God, and obeying God, You cannot please God in your flesh. So as noble as it might sound that, oh, I'm going to get my act together and then I'm going to give my life to God, that is a trick from the devil, and you might not make it. Because what it's going to take is for you to simply submit to God and to understand that it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can pay for your sin. When you humble yourself and you receive Jesus Christ as the master of your life and you allow his blood to be the payment for your sin, then you can be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then you can turn away from serving sin. Then you can believe in your heart that God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Then you can confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. Then you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your master. Then you can believe to speak in tongues and you can believe to prophesy, and there will be no doubt in your mind that you are the righteousness of God through your faith in his son, Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. See, we haven't been called to live in doubt, to have a ticket to the spiritual lottery where we might be able to go to heaven. That's not how this works. When you're saved, you know it. You walk in the fullness of the power and authority of God, and you communicate with your Heavenly Father in your heavenly prayer language. And you pray with your understanding, and you sing with your understanding, and you sing with your heavenly prayer language. Look at what it says here in Romans 8, 9 to 10. It says, but if you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. See, it is the righteousness of God through his son, Jesus Christ, that is life to you. The spirit within you is life. The Holy Spirit within you that God makes available as a result of his son, Jesus Christ, sending the Comforter to dwell within you and I after he was given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, after God seated him at his right hand, after God raised him from the dead, after being laid in a stone tomb dead for 3 days and three nights. See, all of this happens. We're not in the flesh. We're in the spirit. And if the spirit of God dwells in us, which he does when we believe, then we know that if the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in us, that we don't believe, and that what we need to do is believe so that we are God's. Because until the spirit of Christ is within us, we are unbelievers. We do not believe. We are not his. We are not God's until we believe. But if Christ is in you, the body's dead because of sin. See, we died with Christ. And when we are raised up from baptism, we are raised with Christ. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus Christ reigns in our life. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 to 4. It says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, we are led by the Spirit of God. We walk to please God, to serve God, to trust God, and we operate through the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us. And God, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. See, Jesus Christ condemning sin in the flesh by dying on the cross, he made it available for us to be the righteousness of God in the earth. He carried our sin on the cross. And during times like this, it's really important because not only did he carry our sin, but before he was nailed to the cross, when he was beat to a pulp, that was for our physical wholeness. That was for our health, because it's God's will that we prosper and be in health. Look at what it says here in Romans 9, 30 to 31. It says, and it speaks of the present condition of Israel. It says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. So what they're saying is all the things that Israel's done, offering sacrifices continually, they've not attained to righteousness, but these Gentiles who just believe have attained to righteousness. And this is hard for Israelites to comprehend, but they have to understand that Jesus Christ came to them first. On the day of Pentecost, those who received the Holy Spirit, the approximately 120 people, they were all Jews. That a Gentile did not receive the Holy Spirit until the household of Cornelius was ministered to by the Apostle Peter. And we have to understand that what is being said is that righteousness of God comes through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 9, verses 32 to 33. It says, why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. See, they were offended by the idea that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, because he was from Nazareth, because he was considered illegitimate, because of a host of reasons. They could not accept him as the Messiah. He was a stumbling block to them. And everything that he represented was offensive to their sensibilities at the time, to such an extent that the religious leaders at the time paid the soldiers to say that his disciples stole him from the tomb. See, that's one of the reasons why we can't serve money, because money is connected to perpetuating lies. Lies and secrets. And that level of witchcraft is something that we're exempt from. Look at what it says in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. It talks of the graces of the heirs of grace. Remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Look at what it says in Titus 3, 4 to 7. It says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you tonight to walk in the boldness that God has given you and understand that it is the blood of Christ that makes you righteous. It is your faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, that makes you the righteousness of God. And when you are in that place where you understand that God establishes us in righteousness, that when love frees us from fear, will be far from oppression and terror. Understand that those who organize against us shall fall. Understand that the righteousness of the servants of God comes from God. Understand that no weapon that's formed against God's servant shall prosper. Understand that we will condemn every tongue that rises against us in judgment by our love walk. Understand that the work of righteousness is peace, and the effect of righteousness is eternal quietness and assurance. Understand that we believe unto righteousness with our heart, and when we believe that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, we are attaining to that righteousness. We have to understand that God has revealed his righteousness apart from the law through his son Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth, and I thank you for you blessing someone tonight. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
Lord, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows, showed him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire next time. Listen, way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. But when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they was left behind. I tell ya,
it's gonna rain.
Get ready,
it's gonna rain.
Lord, you better
get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows,
show him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire the next time. Listen, church. They tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window, they knocked on the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. Now you don't want this to happen to you. I tell you,
it's gonna rain.
Do you believe
it's gonna rain?
Lord, you
better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows the rainbow sign.
He said
it won't be water, but fire next time.
This is what Noah told me. Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God got the key. You can't get in. If something don't happen to the heart of man, the same thing is gonna happen again. I tell you,
it's gonna rain.
Children,
it's gonna rain.
You
better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows.
Show him the